Before the pandemic, Robin Marie's son Brennan was attending a private day school in Issaquah for autistic youth. His needs were so great that he had 2-to-1 staff support. At home in the afternoons, he would work with a behavioral specialist. But COVID upended all of that. Robin says the disruption in routine and lack of support drove her sweet and loving son into crisis. Soon, he was lashing out physically.
Brennan became so violent that I started to get injured.
Robin says Brennan broke her nose and her arm and strangled her. She had to restrain him and call the police multiple times. She says one officer told her, "You need to get him help." Her answer back, "There is no help, at least not in Washington." So she started talking with her local school district about an out-of-state placement. Eventually, it was decided Brennan would go to a residential treatment facility near Houston, Texas. Robin says sending her son 2,200 miles from home was gut-wrenching.
You know it's supposed to be the right thing for them, but every element of my body felt like it was the wrong thing. Like, he's leaving. He's supposed to be here.
Brennan's story highlights a little-known fact in Washington. Youth with severe behavioral challenges are being sent to out-of-state facilities at taxpayer expense. Some of these schools cost more than $300,000 a year. In 2021, 55 special education students from Washington were in residential settings, all but 3 of them at facilities outside the state. Tanya May is the state's assistant superintendent for special education. She says state and federal law require that when school districts can't meet the needs of a child with disabilities, alternatives need to be offered. That includes placement outside Washington's borders.
Sometimes the conversation is maybe not that it's the best placement, but the necessary placement right now.
But getting a local school district to agree to send a student out of state isn't always easy. In fact, families who can afford to often turn to attorneys who specialize in this work, like Lara Ruschka, who has a degree in special education.
I think more often than not, school districts are just reticent to say that they are unable to serve a student, and they want to make sure they've exhausted every opportunity to serve in the school, in the district, in the state, before looking to a pretty extreme option, which is to send a student out of state.
While Ruschka's firm does pro bono work, not all families can access an attorney, and that can create inequities where students from wealthier districts are more likely to secure a placement. At the same time, some disability advocates think separating youth from their parents ultimately does more harm than good.
People want to be close to their families.
Ivanova Smith identifies as autistic and works with the self-advocacy groups People First of Washington and Self-Advocates in Leadership. She says Washington State has dropped the ball when it comes to supporting families in their homes.
It angers me as a self-advocate. It really frustrates me. When there is not enough funding to support us in the community, that puts us in a really bad bind.
This issue is on the radar of state lawmakers who've been investing in Washington's behavioral health system. For parents like Robin Marie, there are no easy answers. On the one hand, she feels lucky Brennan is once again getting the support he needs. On the other, she says it's hard on her and her son.
Every time I talk to him, he asks me when he's going to come home. And I don't have an answer to that. And it's heartbreaking every single time.
Robin has gone to visit her son 3 times in the past 15 months, including last August to celebrate his 13th birthday.
Always the best present.
They're always the best because they go together.
A video from that day shows Brennan opening presents in a hotel room. A happy birthday banner hangs on the wall. He's doing well enough now that later this month, Brennan will get to make his first trip home to see his family. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.